Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
It's time for me to catch up with Scott Fishman, since I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks. Of course, you know Scott from Channel Guide magazine and a contributor with the Miami Herald. So how's everything in your neck of the woods, Scotty?
Things are going well. Just wrapped up Thanksgiving, and I'm glad we have this platform. You know, we can vent our WWE frustrations. And
yeah, I guess, man. How much weight did you put on for Thanksgiving?
What was that?
How much weight did you put on at Thanksgiving?
You know, not much, because I didn't really do a traditional Thanksgiving this year. I actually ended up at Flanagan's, unfortunately. But
oh, really? You went out?
Yeah. I always wanted to kind of like try it, because I mean, I see it every year. They have that the special, but it was not all that good. You know, nothing beats home cooking.
Right. Well, but I had to work, so I didn't even get that. I got like the leftovers.
Yeah.
Not that it's all woe is me or anything like that. So I got.
No, not at all. Yeah. And then actually went. I did some shopping. So.
Oh, you went? Oh man, you did the shopping on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I did Black Thanksgiving, yeah.
That's good. Do you have a black eye following that, or?
No, I did some clotheslines, a few drop kicks for some things, but.
And you walked away with
unscathed, thankfully.
I'm assuming you got like a 50-inch TV for like $120 or something?
This year I didn't get any like big box items. It was more about, I was actually doing some Christmas shopping for others, because I'm always, you're that last-minute person, so. I feel like the earlier the better, and if I can get some things. But then it's like a mad dash, when you're in the middle of the crowds. But if you, the later you go, it's not that bad, I feel like, as people go online, it's become less of a craziness.
Well, it wasn't.
Although nothing beats like going to the, for me anyway. I mean, a lot of people like buying online, but for me, I like actually looking at the product, holding it in my hand, or being able to see it,
That's not fun.
Things.
I just do it all online. And you know what? I pick out two people I'm going to buy gifts for. That's it. Two people. It's just whatever. My wife and I'll just kind of like randomly pick somebody else in my life. I'm like, you're the one that's getting a gift this year. Nobody else.
That's a good way of doing it. That's a cheap way of doing it.
I don't buy for too many people. There's a couple people, but that's
it. But then you're in a situation where if they get you something and you're like, oh, crap, what do I do now?
They never get me anything.
I got that gift where, you get that random gift, and then just in case you're prepared, if someone gets you something, because you don't want to be empty-handed.
I've done that before where I've gotten, like, a bunch of my friends, like, smaller gifts, or I've gotten them, maybe not like a $2 gift, but a gift, a real gift, and they didn't know that it was happening, and then they felt, like, guilt-stricken because they didn't get me anything. So I just like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Don't worry about it. So even with like, we almost did that one year with my family, but now it's just like, okay, you get something not too pricey. Just get like one item and you're good. You're good.
Well, what's on your gift list this year?
Ooh.
Everyone has those Amazon gift lists.
I do have an Amazon gift.
Do you?
Oh, absolutely. I do. I don't mean it's a wish list for me. I don't have it open to the public. I could open it to the public if anybody wants to get me anything.
Yeah, there you go.
I've got this nice men's backpack that's a retro vintage canvas that's on there if anybody would like to get that. Or let's see. Ooh, I've got a nice new microphone. It's a little pricey. This nice Heel PR40 mic. It's comes in right now at a svelte $327. Let's see what else is on there. The old electronic football game that people used to play 20 years ago. I got that on there. That's pretty cheap. It's under $20.
Nice.
Yeah, things like that.
On the WWE side of things, that Owen Hart DVD would be on my wish list. Did you see the WWE Network, the first look? It's like the first 30 minutes or in the middle of the 30 minutes. It's like a 30-minute preview, though, basically.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's really good because they have it's like a documentary kind of style with them talk, Bret Hart and all these other guys, but they're also sharing Owen stories, which is great.
Yeah, are you torn about that considering that his wife didn't sign off on it?
I don't see why she wouldn't want, you know, him to be honored in a certain way and be remembered.
Because they're profiting off of it.
I mean, I get what, you know, her feelings and everything, but I mean, I even saw Owen's sister, I believe, is even on the, got interviewed. I mean, I just don't see why she would want to prevent that. I think it's great that they want to put something together where they want to honor him. I know, they make some money off of it. Maybe she would feel less, I don't know, mad or angry about it if the money they got was donated to charity, I guess. You think that would have been different if they said, okay, we're not making money off of this. Everything that we make, we're going to donate to a charity of your choice or something like that.
Well, that's the question. Like, you know, they haven't said they're going to do that, but
I think that would be, I don't know if that would be a good different way to appease her, but I definitely think something, a project should be made. I mean, the archives are there, everything is there, and there's people who genuinely, you know, liked or loved the guy, and he deserved to be remembered in a certain way like this.
Right.
So, you know, this great, like me just watching as a fan, like just remembering how great that storyline with him and Bret Hart was, like how well laid out that is. You don't see that anymore.
Right.
Like the storytelling and having the family involved and the, like the emotion and like that, that's the great thing about, that's when professional wrestling is like really good, is when you're like invested in it. It carried over like for how many years, and you know, it's just one of those things that was a moment in time, and just being able to look back and remember that, and for people that have, you know, didn't know Owen Hart and didn't know how great he was, this is a chance to introduce them.
Yeah.
So they develop an appreciation.
There definitely is that. I mean, we won't understand it from her vantage point, considering that that was her husband, you know?
Right. So we don't know how, I can't imagine how it, you
right
know, feels to lose someone that, especially that way, and so, you know.
And the company tragedy where he was working and where he died, and now they're putting out this DVD, you know, and I mean, it's a whole other element to it. So I don't, maybe it would soften the blow if they have said, we're making it and we're going to give proceeds to charity. I don't know. I don't know if that would make her feel better.
I think that's something I would have reached out and did.
Right.
Know.
And maybe they did. I don't know. So I mean,
we don't know what kind of or how much they tried. We don't know anything about this sort of thing.
Sure.
But what do you, I mean, in your eyes, would you think it was the right move to move forward with this? I mean,
yeah, I mean, I would have gone out of my way to probably say we're giving money to charity, you know.
It just came to me just now that too. I didn't even think about.
Yeah, just like all the proceeds to this DVD are going to be going towards this charity or going towards, you know, the what is it, the Owen Hart Foundation, you know, something like that. You know, just to whether she wanted it or not, because like you said, I think there's a lot of people that would enjoy it without trying to cross over or offend the family, because you did get so many different family members to take part in the DVD, you know, so.
It's the same for the Hall of Fame. He should definitely go into the Hall of Fame. And
for WWE standards, yeah.
Why would you want him to be immortalized in this kind of way? I mean,
right.
I guess it's because of the, she probably feels like it's the company that caused it, so, or
right,
she thinks caused it, so she's like, why would I support something like that, you know?
Yeah, that's.
But you can't blame her in a certain, you know, at a certain point, but at the same time, you want to, you know, it's a tough situation to be in, basically.
Oh, absolutely.
You want to honor this guy, but if the wife, you know, isn't behind it, it's kind of rough.
I thought when you were talking about WWE gifts, you were excited about the new emoji Dean Ambrose T-shirt that's out there.
Everyone's talking about that one.
Oh my God!
But the one shirt that someone tweeted me, you can get back into that shirt, but I don't know if you saw it, but someone tweeted me yesterday a picture of, I don't know what, I forgot what website it's on, but the New Day shirt, which is like, it's made like the logo of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, which, you know, Xavier Woods is a big Power Ranger fan, so I could see why they did that. And it's like the logo of Power Rangers, but it has New Day.
Mm. Oh, I'm looking at it now.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Especially
for someone who can appreciate it.
Well, I saw the ones that they have where they're like riding on unicorns or whatever. The cartoon one?
There's so many things you can market with those guys. But I thought that one was good because it's subtle. And like, only people that are WWE fans will know, but it's not looked at as like a wrestling shirt. So you can wear it on the street and someone's like, okay, Power Positivity, New Day rocks, and it's Power Rangers. That's pretty clever. But if you're like a WWE fan, you're like, that's awesome.
Right. I don't think there's going to be a lot of people if you're just walking down the street that knows exactly what the New Day is. Not everybody's
right
going to know. There's a lot of people that probably wouldn't even know about Power Rangers, like me. I didn't watch Power Rangers, never have.
Well, you're older. I can understand that.
Right. Like, I'm not into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles either.
Ugh, you just lost so many cool points on this podcast.
I never saw it. I saw, like, one of the movies when it came out, only because my girlfriend at the time wanted to see it. And we went with a bunch of friends.
Wow.
I didn't know what was going on. I was like, what the hell is this? Sorry.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I grew up during that point, so that's why those are the two things that I enjoy, or I will always be a fan of those two.
Maybe I'm just old. I don't know.
Well, no, you're older. You probably watched, I don't know, Fraggle Rock and G.I. Joe. And
I watched a little G.I. Joe.
Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. I don't know.
No, I didn't watch that. I mean, I remember watching a lot of the Flintstones growing up, but I'm not that old.
That's like the 50s.
Oh, that's 60s, dude, but
60s,
they
sorry.
Used to do the replays of that, like, on TBS in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, I remember when Cartoon Network was Cartoon Network, where they used to show, like, Jetsons, Flintstones, like, all the classic cartoons before they started doing their own.
As a teenager growing up, man, I spent a lot of time over the summers watching game shows, okay? So, Price is Right, I'm your man, okay? You know, when Sale of the Century and Card Sharks used to be on, or Tic-Tac-Doe.
Did you watch Press My Luck? That was
my
show.
Who didn't like that,
USA
man?
USA Network with the whammies.
Oh, no whammy, no whammy, no whammy. Yeah, of course. Nothing beats Price is Right, but yeah. There's some other good quality stuff out there.
Yeah.
If you want to go way back, man, on game shows, like not that I watched this, but I've seen some of them. Just go back to like Joker's Wild, which is like 60s, you know? 60s, early 70s, I think. That was an interesting game show. You have no idea what I'm talking about right now.
No, I do not.
That show dates itself, to say the least. Big time. Not like WWE right now. That is, I guess, dating itself with its creative booking, which has not changed in a while. Yeah. It's been rather stagnant as of late. So a lot of people are talking about Raw this week. Raw to me, I understand that they tried to do some new things, but just where they have a lot of the talent right now, I think a lot of people just aren't into it because we've seen how stagnant and you know they haven't built guys up and the 50-50 booking and everything. And I commend them for trying some new things, but that show just didn't click. And man, there are some nights where that show feels like a 3-hour program. And Monday was one of those to me that it just felt like it was going on and on and on.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think this time of year it's always like that, but I think due to the injuries and all these circumstances with Cena being out doing his reality show, I think that's all just compounding everything where it's making it seem kind of worse than this time of year. Because usually I think it picks up again, you know, toward the Rumble, but this kind of year with the holidays and everything, it's kind of rough. So I think that's another reason why, but exactly. There's really no excuse. Like, you have to always, I don't think they're actually going out of their way to have, you know, these kind of shows. Like, they're probably genuinely trying to figure out a way to get people interested, and they're just not finding that right formula. But I think for me, anyway, for someone who likes the wrestling and the matches and the in-ring action, I think a reason why it dragged for you and for a lot of people is because the matches were just really short. And, you know, you couldn't really get invested in any of them. And it just, I mean, they had a fun surprise in the middle of it, and then it just tapered off. And it kind of saw the formula. I mean, I like the way they built the match between Roman Reigns and Sheamus. They, you know, they added a lot of importance to it, and I think they could have did a little bit more with that. So it was kind of, like, disappointing. I mean, it was fun to watch that quick five-minute thing, but I think they could have just dragged that on to the end. I mean, I don't know if they, and they could have had that tag team match later on down the road, but at least in my eyes. But I think that was one of the things is it was, I'm not a fan of long talking segments or so many talking segments. Some of them were effective and some of them, you know, weren't. And New Day was in a lot of the segments, which shows you their confidence or their trying to use whatever is popular right now to kind of give the rub to the other guys, and hopefully it carries over. So you notice that they're moving that over to, you know, New Day with trying to build them up with, but at the same time having this new faction with Sheamus at the head of the table, doing that. So I don't know what direction they're going to go with that. I don't know how these factions are going to be, but I thought it was funny. Like, the build felt very Survivor Series-esque. Like, they were building towards a Survivor Series match, even though Survivor Series is over now. So I thought that was kind of funny. But you can clearly see they're trying to find some sort of way, equal footing or some sort of direction, given that all these people are not on the show that they normally have due to injuries or absences or contracts or things like that. This is one of the most challenging times, you know, they've had in a long time as far as being creative. And you can definitely tell people are frustrated about it.
Oh, yeah. I think one of the problems though, for Monday Night 2 was not only were the matches short, but there were so many non-finishes. And
yes, that's due. Disqualification.
That totally hurts as well. The show never got in any flow. The New Day, as entertaining as they are, it's one of those things where WWE sees something and then they just put their hooks into it and then they just run it into the ground, which has happened before. And it's like, there's a way to include them a lot in the show, but without overdoing it. And I thought they overdid it on Monday night because they were in three segments, plus they did that goofy commercial as well. So
yeah, it was funny. I tweeted out last week when the ratings came in, the low ratings, I'm like, uh-oh, looks like New Day's, I did like Vince McMahon doing like a quote saying, put New Day in every, you know, for the whole 3 hours. I didn't think they were actually going to take me up on that.
Oh, they did. They took you up on that big time, man. And it's funny because like how long have we been talking about? And a lot of people too, like, why don't they do like some overseas faction with all the different talent that they have? And now they're doing it. But people are down on it. And I think a lot of that is just because, well, number one, I think there's just some people that just don't like Sheamus no matter what. And then part of it is, too, it's just they haven't gotten these guys over. I mean, how are you supposed to believe in Sheamus being the world champion when, you know, he hasn't been featured a lot. He hasn't been on a winning streak. You know, it's 50-50 booking with him. And then you're putting him with Rusev, who, you know, a year ago was on this fantastic run. And that screeched to a halt earlier this year. They put him in like this love triangle storyline. And then you've got King Barrett in there, who I don't think has won a match all year, maybe one. And then you've got, you know, Del Rio, which I don't even think they know what the hell to do with him. So
yeah, you could tell they're trying to figure out what to do with him with Zeb and how he's. I don't even know how he's going to factor into things. But I agree. If this happened like maybe earlier this year, or maybe when Barrett became the King of the Ring, or. Yeah, I agree with you. Like, they didn't build these guys up to be these believable, you know, bad guys. But, you know, I mean, I like the group, the idea of the group being together. So maybe this will help generate heat. I mean, one thing that they have done, it seems, is, you know, you're not hearing as many boos for Roman Reigns now because he's working with Sheamus, because people don't like Sheamus more than they don't like Roman Reigns. So he's actually getting, you know, more cheers, which is what they're going for, I guess.
Right.
But I feel bad. Out of everything going on, one of the things that frustrates me is being a fan of his is Dean Ambrose and how they've used him. You know, they clearly have a star here, someone that resonates with the crowd, that people love him. And every time they build him up, they totally bury him. And, you know, there's only so many times you can do that. And they've done that before with guys like Dolph Ziggler and so many others. And it's really hard, you know, to see that someone that they can use so much with a guy like Ambrose or another guy that's, you know, hot, and it just really hurts their momentum, I think. And that's another frustrating thing for me, because like you said, even with Del Rio, they don't know what they want to do with these guys, but they need to figure it out and have like a long-term plan. They need to be like, this is the same formula for all wrestling. Is it got to be consistent, you know, have a long-term plan? And like you said, the 50-50 booking isn't helping. You got to have someone have some momentum going forward. I think even on NXT, you look at guys and girls when they have these matches, they're facing, you know, guys kind of unknown in WWE world, maybe from the independent scene. They're using them, and they're having these kind of matches, and they're putting them and they're winning every week. So they're building momentum, like Nia Jax or Baron Corbin, and you can clearly see it's effective. And you're building up these guys, and they're doing a good job because they're keeping it simple and they're using that kind of old school mentality of building up character. And I don't know why it's not, they're not doing the same in, you know, when you look at the main roster.
Well, I think a lot of that is just because of the difference in creative control. I mean, when you're in NXT, I don't think there's as many layers to go through. They let you play around with stuff because that's what NXT is supposed to be, a learning ground. It's still, you know, as much as it's its own brand and people don't like to use the developmental word, that's still basically what it's going to be used for, is that we're not only going to, we're going to allow you to play around with things and see, you know, how your character works. And we're going to, you know, develop this. And, you know, like, you're a baby face here. And then after a while, maybe out of nowhere, we're going to change that because we want to see how you work on that side as well. So it's still a platform that's going to be used to play around with different things. But once you get to the main roster, that creative control is gone. And everything is scripted so much more, and you're told this is how to look and react a lot more than trying to figure it out on your own. I mean, there definitely is, you know, there's people telling you what to do in NXT, but not to the degree that we see in the main roster. And I think the biggest difference between the two is just the difference in the creative control and how it changes so much from NXT to WWE. And I think that's why you see people like Finn Balor and you see Bayley talking about, I'm in no hurry to get to the main roster. And they enjoy what they're doing right now in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, why would you, you know, you're programming these guys a certain way to be creative and be open to it and have ideas and things like that. And having, you know, some, having them have some input and having, and that be a part of the discussion and giving them the freedom to be themselves or pursue different things with their character. But then they chop them off at the legs when they get to the main roster. And it should be kind of like the transition shouldn't be like that, I don't think. I mean, I think that's the disconnect that's going on right now, is maybe they need to take a step back and try to see if they can do that. Like, try to look at what they did in 97 almost. I'm not saying go to the Attitude Era, but just, you know, try to look at what's going on, try to do something different and allow the guys to do what they, you know, to try things, to experiment things. I mean, New Day is a perfect example of them getting the opportunity to run with the ball. And, you know, they're proven successful, so they have the opportunity to do these things. And, you know, when DX was coming up and all those other, you know, acts and guys that were successful, you know, their one thing in common is they were given the freedom. I mean, they didn't, I'm sure those decision makers didn't like giving them the freedom a lot of times, but they saw that they were successful. They saw they were connecting with the audience. So give them the ball and let them do stuff with it. I mean, right now in WWE, the culture is you walk around and broken, you know, glass, and you're always worried about saying something or speaking up. I don't know how it is, but, you know, we're not back there. We don't know how it's, but it is just what we assume or things that are going on. But,
well, it's a safe assumption because you hear people like Mick Foley talking about it and Steve Austin talking about it. I mean, Foley, you know, put out those pleas on his Facebook page, and then the two of them talked together on Austin's podcast, and they both said that, like, everybody's walking around on eggshells. They're not sure what to do. The creative control is not there, you know, like it once was. And I don't know if you listened to that podcast, but Foley even talked about, you know, when he believes the Attitude Era began. And it was like in 1997 when he remembers this conversation with Vince, where Vince had told everybody, like, what we're doing is not working. We have to do something different. And that means I have to give some of the control to the talent. We have to be more trusting of the talent. And because of that, that's why Foley went in the direction that he did. And that's why Austin went in the direction that he did and became just this uber star. And then we saw it, you know, in so many other guys, like including The Rock. And that's what helped. And, you know, for whatever reason, he's gone away from that. They've got, I don't know how many people on a creative team that no matter what they say, what they come up with, it's going to be Vince that gives the thumbs up or the thumbs down on what happens anyway. And they haven't changed. The formula for what they do has not changed despite ratings going down. And, I mean, the house show business is still fine. They're still a profitable company, and obviously everything's turning over to more digital. But when you talk about the ratings and just buzz right now, it's just not there. And they haven't changed in so long. And I don't know why they don't sit there and say, we need to look at things a little bit differently. I mean, they have a different audience. The audience that they have now is so different from even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that I think you need to make not drastic changes, but you have to constantly be tweaking things. Not only how you get over characters, but your look, your production, different things like that. Their production team is out of this world. We know how good they are, but, and I'm not saying like 1 week the show looks this way and the next week things look totally different. I don't think that's the way to do stuff necessarily, but you can make some changes when it comes...
even subtle changes. Like, for me, I would love to see them change the set. I don't know how much it's going to... But, you know, budgets and things like that. But I would love them to see the change the graphics, the look. I don't know, something to give it a different feel than what we're seeing.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that would be something that would also be eye-catching to people. Because people are used to the same set all the time. And how many years has it been since we've seen the same kind of format? So maybe changing the layout, that would be good.
I don't know what the numbers show, and they get a minute-by-minute breakdown of ratings. But they have to be thinking, or I would hope they would, these long promo segments just do not work. They don't.
Yeah, this is,
they
I
don't
can't
work.
This is something that this is a format that started back in '98, and it's still they think it's still going to be working. Like, why don't switch to that, have a match and then do a promo? I don't know.
I don't get
why they stick to this.
I'm still a big advocate of, you know, don't do longer promos. Do shorter promos for your stars, whether it's in the ring or backstage. They might get, you know, 5 minutes is the long promo. Occasionally, if there's a little bit of back and forth with somebody else, you go a little bit longer. But nothing like 20 minutes. The longest one of these talking segments should be is probably like 8 minutes. But I wish they would let mid-card talent do backstage promos, even if it was 60 to 90 seconds. The insets are fine that they do sometimes when they're coming out to the ring. But I would love to see something like, hey, you know, Renee Young is backstage, and guess what? Here comes Tyler Breeze. And then here's Dolph Ziggler. And then... here's, you know, whoever else, you know, that's coming by and letting guys get their personalities over. I mean, we can sit here and we can praise Sasha Banks for everything that she's done because we've seen her in NXT. But we know the Sasha Banks story already because it was told of, you know, why she's called the boss and why she dresses that way and who she is. We've seen that development. We've seen it with Tyler Breeze in NXT. But we haven't seen that with either of them or plenty of other people on the main roster.
They take it for granted that we've, you know, that fans have seen them. But I agree with you. Like, even having, like, even back in the day, like, something to show their personalities, like skits. Like, I liked, a perfect example to show their personality. Do you remember when they did the segment backstage with the car? Like, she was pulling up with the Escalade or something? I don't know.
Yes.
It was, like, New Day and Team Bad. That's a perfect example to show their personality. It was a quick thing, but it kind of showed how they are and what they, you know, the way they act. Like, everything that they do between the two of those teams, perfect example. If they showed more of that, like,
we can't get some
TV
vignettes of, like, Team Bad going out on the town and how they roll, you know?
Yeah, something like that. Like, some of those may be over the top, but it, like you said, builds their character. Like, say Tyler Breeze, I don't know, going in on audition or, you know, working a fashion runway show or doing a design at his studio or something like that.
Can't we at least get sit-down interview?
I think a perfect example, even from NXT, is when he did that music video. I think those things really show their personalities, and they're not just standing in a ring with a microphone in there and talking for 20 minutes.
Right.
So,
I mean, I'm fine with, you know, I'd love to see some of that stuff, definitely. But, I mean, can't we get 90 seconds, you know, or even like a sit-down interview where it's a couple parts or something, where or vignettes building up to a guy or whatever, just talking about, you know, I'm so-and-so and this is what I do. And we the last guy that we really kind of got that with was Adam Rose. But even then, you know, it just didn't click. And not everything is going to hit. You know, that was a different situation. And speaking of Adam, what they're doing now and giving him that Hollywood Minute Saturday Night Live skit from 20 years ago with David Spade, man, that is that's something to behold.
They totally missed the boat with him ever since they did the E60. All they had to do was build on that and tell his story, and everyone was already feeling, you know, seeing him a certain way. They were behind him. They wanted to cheer him, and they totally missed the boat by taking him off TV and, you know, basically sticking to the same character. And I just think that was the wrong move. But
I do too.
I mean, I guess the plus side is that he's back on TV, so that's a good thing. But
not like this. So this
I don't know where they're going to go with this. I mean, look,
this can't last.
They just continue to show they don't know what they're doing with this guy. Like, but I'm sure he's okay with it because they're trying things and they're keeping him around. So
I mean, he's doing the best that he can. But
he's
it's just
be
like
so frustrated though. Like all the things, all the changes that they've made with him in the past year or so. It's like gotta be.
By the way, you mentioned this before about, you know, the surprise in the middle of Raw. I don't know if I'm like one of the few people about this, but I got to be honest with you. I am sick of ECW reunions. I am done with it, man. Dude, the company went out of business like 15 years ago. It is what it is. People have it. It's one thing to honor ECW, and I have no problem with that. But how many times have we seen these ECW reunions? Or we got to have a hardcore show, or we got this or that. Like, I'm done with it. I'm over it. Okay, it's in the past, man. Move on.
I get what you're saying, and I think in this kind of situation, it kind of works. I mean, with them trying to even the numbers of the Wyatt family. So I think in this case, overall, I agree with you totally, 100%. But I think in this case, it actually works, seeing them in this situation. And you say that, but after all these years, people are still chanting ECW in these arenas, so there's clearly still a fan base of people that like to relive this. So
you know what, though?
I mean, who's to say we can't?
That's the hard
thing. It's getting over. Who are we to say, oh, you can't do or you shouldn't do that? So I don't. At the same time, I feel what you're saying, but at the same time, people love the nostalgia of it. So they're going to keep doing it if people are still going to respond to it.
But I think that's a small sample size.
Whatsoever, they wouldn't do it.
That's a small sample size because these are the people that are still going to spend money for a ticket to go to the show.
But you're talking about the audience overall.
Yes, because, I mean, we can sit here and say, oh, well, the people are cheering for it. But that's a small sample. That's 10,000 people when your audience is millions of people. Okay, so what's responding in that building? Because they're doing it in an area where ECW ran a lot of shows in Pittsburgh. And I'm not trying to put down the Dudleys or Dreamer. But they're doing it, and there's a reason why they're doing it in that area, because they're trying to get that response for people. But, you know, that to me is a small sample size, because you're putting it in that area with those fans, and it's your loyalist fans that are going to buy a ticket to go to Raw.
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh, they're smart about that. But like I said, I mean, if it's a short-term thing, like in this kind of situation, in this kind of environment, I don't mind it if it's just going to be like a quick thing. But if they kept it around and I think in this case it worked. Like I said, they have the Dudleys there. They're fighting the Wyatt family, who strengthen numbers, so they need somebody to help them.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but it's just like I've seen this so many times. I'm like,
yeah,
oh.
And it's funny because, you know, people bring up the point all the time. TNA does it, and everyone, like, craps on it.
Right.
So there's a definite double standard there.
Well, and the other thing is, too, that I get tired of, just because there's a right time to do it, and there's just a time where everybody's like, oh, we got to get this chant going, you know, when people got to do the this is awesome chant. And I'm just like, calm that down, man. You guys are just looking for a reason to do it when you don't need to do it. And that's great that people are getting into the show and everything, but I just wish there was different ways where people just cheered and booed and clapped and everything, and or chanted for a wrestler's name rather than doing the this is awesome. That to me is just, I'm tired of that too. It's overblown.
I
know you don't have to disagree. You don't want people hating on you like they're going to hate me now for saying that in public. Like, oh, how dare you tell me
you
what I can chant?
You hate ECW. You hate Paul Heyman.
You hate Paul Heyman. You don't like hardcore wrestling. You don't appreciate them. And you don't even like us saying this is awesome. You're just curmudgeon, man.
Well, I do know, in fact, you are a fan of Rob Van Dam. So.
Sure. I am a fan of Rob.
So what if they...
I mean, Rob,
a good guy to bring back.
Well, do you think Rob is going to come back?
Rhino, Spike Dudley, Rob Van Dam. There you go.
Well,
the guy.
By the way, so when they did that segment on Monday and they said, we're going to go to our family. I mean, anybody that's watched wrestling for 15 years probably thought, oh, they're bringing in Spike. And then it was Tommy. And I was just like, oh, okay. Now, mind you, Spike is retired. I don't know if he wants to come back and get thrown around because his body's already gone through so much. But, I mean, I'm not disappointed necessarily, but I was kind of like, whoa, where'd that come from? And then I guess in the pay-per-view, what do you think? They're going to do 4-on-4 and they'll bring in somebody else like Rob?
I mean, that's what I think. That seems like the direction they're going in.
But right.
I think one of the good things, I mean, you may have not liked the ECW kind of like bringing back kind of reunion or memories or whatever, but just the fact, that's another issue with Raw. Like, they pulled it off, though. What's good about this one segment is, it's something I didn't see it coming. I mean, I read online fairly, you know, frequently, but in this case, I didn't see that coming. Everyone saw Spike coming out or anybody coming out, but the fact Tommy Dreamer came out was an unexpected surprise, and I think those are the things that need to, you know, surprising the audience and things that we don't expect, because WWE has become so predictable, like over time, and sometimes that's unavoidable, but there's ways you can do things that surprise the audience, and the fans are, you know, not knowing what's going to happen next, they're going to watch, and they're going to stay, they're going to keep watching. So I think that's the, one of the reasons why their audience dips in the third hour, obviously, is because people know what's going to happen. They know it's an eight-man tag, and they kind of have an idea of what they're going to see. So it's kind of like paint-by-numbers type thing. It's the same kind of matches we've seen. So I think if they're giving people a reason to watch, that's why I like the idea of them stacking the deck with Roman Reigns and Sheamus, and if they carried that over more of the show, because there was, I'll admit it, there was a point where I actually thought they were going to pull the trigger and actually have Roman Reigns win because of, you know, all the ratings and things like that. So maybe they got, like, maybe we'll, you know, do something to get the crowd really into it or the audience really invested really, you know, quickly. And, you know, so that I saw something like that. So I think that's just an example of what kind of things they need to work on, I think, as far as that.
You know what? If they want to surprise me, here's how to surprise me. Build up your characters stronger and put together some creative storylines. I don't need to have shock value, guys returning or this happened out of the blue or look at this guy just suddenly turned on this guy left and right, you know, just for the sake of doing it. Put together some good, compelling storylines, build up your characters. Oh, well, right. You know, let guys win matches. Because guess what? That's how you get guys over, man. It's just...
It's a tried and true way of doing things, and it's an old school way. It's a way that works, a new school way. It works in any era. It's a formula that's been effective in professional wrestling before, and it will be again.
Yeah.
And they need to do. But and I think they have to know that. I can't imagine like all this is out there and
they're
not
going
to know.
I mean, but how long has this been going on with the 50-50 booking? This has been something. It's not like this has been going on for 6 months. This has been going on for like 10 years.
And making things worse is when they were building guys like up, maybe someone gets injured or something like that.
Like, what was that one WrestleMania? It was what? Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton, and Kurt Angle. I don't know who.
It was a triple threat.
And everybody lost going into Mania. Like, each one of them lost to another one of them going into Mania. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, they make it so even. They're afraid to give someone a little inch, it seems. Like, what frustrated me was Tyler Breeze losing after he beat Dolph Ziggler. He got pinned in the night after.
And he got pinned again this week.
Right. So that's an exact point. I'm like, you're building up, you're having this new star in Tyler Breeze, and you're not giving him anything to build momentum so people will see him as a certain way right away, because you only get one first impression. And that was a good first impression on SmackDown, but they did nothing after that with him.
Yeah. And what was the point of bringing him up if you're not going to push him right off the bat? What's
exactly
the point?
But I mean, I don't know what kind of struggle's going on creatively or not, but there's got to be something.
They're all arm wrestling Vince, and he's beating them all. It's 70 years old. Well, let me bring up this point, too, because I know this argument's been made. Do you think, as much as we are a smart audience now, and we know about the ins and outs of wrestling, it's not just, you know, everybody does this that follows wrestling for the most part. Is there too much behind-the-scenes programming now where we're seeing too much behind the curtain? It's one thing to kind of know, like, oh, we know about this, we know about that, but now we're actually seeing some of the stuff getting played out from a standpoint of whether it's Triple H, you know, and Stephanie with, you know, charitable acts, and that's great stuff, but how they go back and forth with their character, but also when we see different programs on the network or some of the documentaries, just some of the different things that they do. I mean, I enjoy a lot of it, but I almost wonder, does that affect an audience from a standpoint of separating the character and the person, and that it's harder and harder now to separate it and kind of go into that fantasy world of believing what we're seeing when we're watching the programming?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a fine line, but I think with Breaking Ground, there are guys that are, you know, still coming up, so their characters haven't really fully developed. And I think the ones that they are focusing on that are on TV aren't really straying away from their characters too much, because you see Baron Corbin being kind of this loner and things like that. The only thing that maybe, you know, kind of character-wise changed is Dana Brooke and how she acts on that show and how she is behind the scenes and how she is on television. I mean, that's the only thing I can see being a problem. So
yeah.
In that situation, yeah, I think maybe they're not giving too much away, and they're doing it in a way where they're not showing, like, oh, this is predetermined. Like, they're trying to be on the card. They're trying to strive for that. So they're doing it in a subtle way of storytelling with not really blatantly going out and saying, oh, this is predetermined, this is that, the other thing. So I don't know if that's necessary here. I think, like you said, the only thing, the problem also, the issue that they had with it didn't have, you know, decades ago, is just the hours of time they have to fill. And it's got to be hard too, is just trying to figure out what they're going to do week to week without a break. And maybe one of the things they can consider too is the giving the guys, you know, reason for the injuries is they're working so hard, is having them, you know, be gone for 2 months or so and then bringing them back and get reintroduced after a big storyline or things like that. Because, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So, and then they can promote the return, and it's like a totally fresh thing. I think people are just, they see these people every single week. Monday, they see them on, you know, SmackDown, Main Event, if you watch it online, and all over there. They're all over the place. So having these guys take a break, it's also good for them, but also good for the audience. So, you know, they can miss them or forget about them for a bit and concentrate on someone else. And I think that's what's good. You know, NXT has the benefit that they're only on once a week, and it's an hour long, so they can feature different performers every week, and it doesn't come off as stale, I think.
Did you, yeah, and there's a lot of that.
There's a lot of factors.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of that, you know, that it's a tough one. Like you said, you've been watching Breaking Ground then, right?
Right.
Okay. Did you see this week's? How gut wrenching was that at the end of the show?
Oh, when he was in the room and
well, what happened for anybody who didn't see it? So they,
yeah, I don't want to spoil
they,
it. I don't know
well,
if you want to.
They do this tease. They're talking about next week coming up, and basically they do. Canyon Seaman's there, right? And Canyon's the guy that fires everybody. So,
right.
But Canyon's there, and you're like they're teasing towards the next week, and they so the next thing you know they've got Apollo Crews in a room with Canyon and I think it's Albert. Okay. So
yeah.
They're talking to him. They go, "We're giving you a raise," and then they do the same with Nia Jax, and then
giving you a raise.
Yes, we're going to give you a raise, and then mind you, the last 2 weeks shows have been about Cal Bishop, about how he's had this horrible.
How he's coming back from injury.
Yeah,
he's excited about his return.
Right, he's got a shoulder injury. It's popped out of socket a couple times after he tore it up, and you know, and now he's starting to get back in the ring. He's starting to take bumps again, and you know, he's really gone through very diligently when it comes to his training and everything and his rehab. So he goes in the ring, and this is how they end the episode. And this guy just loves wrestling. And Canyon Seaman sits him down. He goes, "Okay, so let me just cut right to the chase." He goes, "Today's going to be your last day with the company." And Cal goes, "What?"
Yeah,
and they boom,
really
they
bad.
End the episode. You're like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah, that's how they end it. But I mean, it's horrible for him, and it's an awful situation. But it just shows you how the business is, and you know, it's not pretty all the time. There aren't always happy endings, so I think that's what they're trying to portray there.
Yeah. That's that was tough.
Yeah, that was definitely rough.
And
then have it on television for everyone to see.
Yeah, that was
same for Devin.
That was,
Devin Taylor.
Yeah, that was brutal, man, just watching. I mean, I felt so bad for him in that moment, just like, oh, no, because I forgot that he wasn't there anymore. And
I didn't know. Like, I wasn't following it, so I had no idea what happened to him.
Because, I mean, the show's not that far behind.
Yeah, how long ago did he get let go? What you read.
I think it would have been within a month.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's brutal, man. That's just brutal.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
How the business works.
Speaking of the network, so have you been keeping up with all the stuff that's been added to the network lately?
I mean, I've been reading about it, but with all, you know, I wish I had more time in the day to watch, like you said, all that stuff that's being added, like Mid-South, and I never seen Smoky Mountain, so that would have been awesome to look at.
Oh, absolutely, man. So here's the new stuff that they got. So they've got NWA World Championship Wrestling. Now, mind you, they're still adding episodes to all of this stuff. Like, the last time I checked when it came to that, there was, like, 30 episodes. And not all of it's in order, too. Like, they'll have 2 or 3 weeks in a row, and then they'll be missing, like, weeks upon weeks, and then they'll have some more stuff. But they've got that. Smoky Mountain's on there. Global is on there now. Mid-South. Stampede. AWA and World Class. All on there now.
That's awesome.
It's crazy, man. I started watching some of that NWA World Championship Wrestling. The jobbers that are on there are just unbelievable, dude. Unbelievable.
In a good way?
Yes. I'm looking at the names of these guys.
Right.
I'm like, oh, dear Christmas, man. Look at this dude. And Manny Fernandez is running wild with the flying forearm, let me tell you. Okay? The Raging Bull cannot be stopped.
They have these guys, and they have personalities. Even the Hanson guys, you know who they are, and they're getting over.
Let's put it this way. Mulky Mania was trying to run wild on one of the episodes, okay? And
basically, everyone that's at the NWA Fan Fest every year appears on these shows.
They had one where they were like getting ready for the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup tag team tournament. I was like, oh, my God. It's unbelievable, man. Flair is out there, it just in his, all his flairness, as you can imagine. He held up this one episode. I swear to God, he must have done like 5 interview segments. And he was just like calling out everybody. He's like, I'm going to get you, and you want to fight me for this, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. I was like, oh, geez. Flair is freaking killing it, man.
Yeah, and they did it within a studio, the confines of a TV studio most of the time.
Oh, it was great, man. Who was it that went after Flair? Somebody tried to – Flair was in the ring having a match. Somebody went after him, and all the horsemen beat him up. I know who it was. It was Hawk from the Road Warriors. So Hawk comes after Flair, and the horsemen come out, and they start beating him up, and then here comes Animal to try to make the save, and he gets pile-driven on the concrete. It's just like, oh, my God!
Yep, and this was back then, so you can imagine how shocking that would have been if we were walking in back then.
I think he was talking later in the episode, but he should have been out for like 3 months following that injury. Man, that dude should have been like on Dream Street.
Got those healing powers.
Yeah, I know, right? I guess so, but man, it was like some of that stuff just to watch. It's like, trust me, a lot of it's from like our childhood or just stuff that we've always heard about, so there's a little bit more of an affection for it than probably how good it really is. There's plenty of, oh, well, we want to like it because it's from yesteryear, and there's definitely some bad to go along with the good. But just to see the difference in some of that stuff, and there's a lot of it that I haven't seen before. Like, I had never seen Smoky Mountain.
Yeah, like I said, yeah. It's you know, you see guys like...
Cornette's
guys
running wild in that show.
Before, you know, when they were younger and how they were coming up, like Jericho and Lance Storm and...
Oh, yeah.
Sonny and... all those guys. And
did Storm still has his rat tail?
For me, anyway, when I watch these old ones, I don't know if for you, is you get to see the people in the crowd and how they dressed. And
the women, dude, the height of women's hairs is just unreal. Dude, I guess.
And they're wearing sunglasses inside the studio.
Storm still has his tail, like his rat tail for his haircut. You know, it's blonde while the rest of his hair is, you know, brown. It's unreal, man. And Cornette's yelling and screaming at everybody, and he's all pissed off that they're getting ready for a 6-man tag. And as a surprise, the Armstrongs are brought in Hawk to be the sixth, you know, the third man on their team, and Cornette's freaking out. What the hell, man? Oh, what? You know, and
I think one of the things about nowadays is interesting is you have these promotions like Smoky Mountain back then, but now you're kind of seeing slowly a lot of the independent companies coming up and becoming more prominent, bringing in these quality guys and having there's so much access to watching their shows that, you know, it's almost a lot more fun to watch, you know, these promotions than WWE every week. And
yeah.
But, so show me options.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing to be watching that right now if you're frustrated with the current product.
Right. I mean, now is the perfect time for companies like Ring of Honor and TNA and all these other companies to be the alternative and take advantage of the people that are frustrated with what they're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough right now because you still want to be a wrestling fan. I don't know how much it's turning people. I mean, obviously, there's some people that are just totally turned off and say, I'm just not going to watch it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I have friends. They come over every Monday, and it's been like a tradition for years. And even then, they're watching it, and it's, you know, hard to follow. Every week, it's hard to watch, and they're devoted, you know, devoted fans. It's just you want to, you know, you expect more, I guess.
Yeah, it just you look at what's going on with the company, and you're like, man, they got a lot of talent.
There's no doubt.
There's a lot of talent.
Never been the problem.
Right. That's not the problem at all. So. It's just getting on, you know, getting the right storylines and everything.
Yeah, it's the momentum, being the right place, right time. But like I said, like, this time of year has always been kind of stagnant. I mean, not to this extent a lot of years, but
right.
I feel like this time of year during the holidays, it's always kind of slower, and then it picks up toward the Rumble time and into WrestleMania.
Well, here's the last thing, though. Are they going to learn from this? I mean, injuries can happen at any time. But the learning thing is, and I mean,
have somebody to back up just in case.
You've got to keep your mid card strong. And I mean, this is the same thing that kind of brought down WCW. And WWE is not going anywhere. They're not going out of business. It's obviously a lull when it comes to watching Raw, but you've got to learn from these different things. And it's not like this is like something new. This is something that we've seen in the past from WCW to plenty of other places that, you know what, wins and losses matter. You got to keep your undercard strong. And so that way you don't go through a massive lull like this.
Yeah, and that's what I was worried would happen with Cena, and every week would be focusing on Cena and everything. But it's pretty, you know, the one guy that they were pushing in Seth Rollins, he's the one that got injured, so they put all their eggs in that one basket, and the casualties are already there, and then they finally try to use other guys, like Jack Swagger, a perfect example, bringing him back, and I actually like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty obvious kind of rivalry. Hopefully they make something out of it, but this is probably going to be another short-term thing for him, and then he's going to be where afterwards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have plenty of opportunities in the past to build someone up, and then they just take it away, and that's been the problem, the start and the stop. That's been a problem with not only WWE, but other companies as well, and, you know, like you said, focusing on one person or two or three people and then forgetting about the other guys is, you know, that's not a way of viewing about things.
Yeah. Well, on that note, we'll end it here. So everybody can find you online. You can go to Twitter. It's SM Fishman. And then they can go and find your work at channelguidemagblog.com. And also, you are a contributor to the fighting section of the Miami Herald. And people can see stuff there along with your boy Jim Bob Varsalone. That's his name, right, Jim Bob?
He's whatever you want.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that, right?
But, yeah, just to... People want to check out the newest interview I have with the Young Bucks.
Ooh.
I think that's one of my favorite ones they've in recent memory. They were a lot of fun. I never talked to them before, and so that was good. And they talk a lot about the business and what they like and what's moving forward. And
did you get super kicked through the phone?
Yeah, it was over the phone. Actually, I did it through a conference call, so I was able to talk to them both at the same time.
Wow, no super
and
kicks.
You could see their personalities though come through, like. Kind of Matt is kind of like the risk taker and always wanted to do all these crazy things, and Nick is like kind of like almost kind of like level headed one, like, oh, I don't want to do it, you don't know, and then Matt's like eventually convinces him to do it.
Nice.
So yeah, it was funny because they were watching. One of them was watching Raw on Monday, and they were just trying to get into it, and they were just watching New Day for the first time, and they were entertained by them, but. Mm. His wife was all, I think it was Matt's wife, was like, oh, they're doing things that you're doing. Like, so, and then I got him to talk about I don't know if you remember that on social media with Ziggler and Cesaro, where they were doing the pose, the Young Bucks pose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they were talking about that too. And so, yeah, I like those guys. They're a lot of fun to watch.
Cool. Well, everybody can find that over at the channel guide.
Yep,
channelguidemagblog.com. Just look up Scott.
Yep.
You'll find it. So, cool. Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.